I am very thankful for the blood of Jesus this morning. Very thankful that it can work, the song says, a perfect cure. And it will work perfectly in each and every one of our lives. And I'm here this morning because there's power in the blood. And if it weren't for that power, I would be a long way from this place this morning, wouldn't you? Isn't it because of God's great love and power that enabled us, it transformed our life? And because He transformed our life, I owe Him a debt. And you know you owe the Lord a debt this morning? If you have been saved, and if you're not, there's provision this morning. But if you have not been saved there, if you are saved, we owe Him a debt because we could never repay Him for the price that He paid for us. Not only did He forgive us, not only did He enable us to live victoriously, but we have a wonderful crown in inheritance to look forward to. I can never repay God in this life for what He has done. But I wonder sometimes if we are not holding back just a little bit from God. And the message this morning is not an indictment, but it is an appeal and a call to all of us. Do you remember when Jesus walked? We read in the Scripture when Jesus walked on the earth and He walked by and there was Matthew sitting at the seat of custom. And He gave him a call and He said, "Follow me." You remember what Matthew did? He got up and he left his tax collecting table. And he followed Jesus. Jesus, when he came along and there were there was Peter and James and John, and they were out fishing and cleaning their nets. And Jesus came along and said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." You remember what they did? Straightway. What did they do straightway? They left their nets and they followed Jesus. Straightway, they left and they followed Him. Folks, when the Lord saves us, He has saved us to a purpose. He did not just save us to continue on, "Now I'm free from sin and I can go back to normal living." When Jesus saved us, He had a plan for your life. He has a job for us to do this morning. There are things in the kingdom of God that are lacking, and the Lord is needing each and every one of us to present ourselves and fully follow the Lord Jesus. But what happens is, if we do not fully follow the Lord, we are going to limit God. Remember the children of Israel? They were delivered from Egypt. God had given them a great deliverance, and God had a land that He wanted to take them to. But they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they never got to the place. See, the adults never gained the promised land because of their unbelief. Because they never fully committed themselves to follow God where He wanted them to go. And so those people, other than Joshua and Caleb, they never experienced the fullness of the land. They never experienced that land that flowed with milk and honey. And the reason is that they were afraid because of the giants, because of the walled cities. But if they would have trusted God, they would have seen the walls of Jericho fall, but they never saw the walls fall. They would have seen the giants conquered, but they never saw them conquered because they died in the wilderness. They never saw the Jordan River part. They never saw the great victories that God had for them, but God did have a plan. God did have a place of anointing and victory and power. But over in Psalm 78, if you will turn with me, Psalm 78 in the 41st verse, speaking of the children of Israel, it says, "Yea, they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel." Do you realize we serve a sovereign God this morning? God is sovereign. God is all powerful. He is able to do all things. And this has caused a lot of problems in the Christian world. But in His sovereignty, He created mankind with a will. The sovereign God. He created mankind with the power of choice. He created us with the freedom of volition. He enabled us to make decisions. And although the sovereign God can affect our choices, the Holy Spirit can move us and influence us. The Scripture says that God will harden whom He will harden and soften whom He will soften. But the Lord will never override the decision that we make to serve the Lord or not to serve God. Which means this, if we do not fully follow the Lord, it is within our power to limit the working of God in our life. It is within our ability here this morning to limit the power of God working on us as a people of God and as a congregation. The Lord has a plan for us. He has an intended place to take us. But a lot of it's going to be up to us individually if we will wholly follow the Lord. When it says here that they limited the Holy One of Israel, the word limit in one sense means to grieve. But it also means to scrawl or to mark. And the sense being is that they marked the territory or scrawled and said, this is the amount of land that we're going to give to God. This is how far we will go with God. But now we have marked a boundary and we're not going to go beyond that. That's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? But you know that many Christians today are limiting God in different ways in their life. Lord, I will go this far with you. But now I've drawn a line and I'm not going to go any further. As a people, there are congregations across the world that carry the name Church of God. But there's a line that is drawn. I will go so far with you and I'm not going to go any further because of my desires, our preferences, our traditions, our backgrounds, what I like and what I don't like. And it may just flat out come down to a mind of worldliness that I'm not quite willing to give up everything in the world. And so I limit God. I limit His power. You know, this morning the Lord desires to pour out a greater anointing in all of our lives. I believe this morning the Spirit of God wants to pour out in a greater way an anointing among us as a people. But if God is going to do it, we are going to have to open up the way and follow the Lord wherever He takes us. Lord, I am willing to do whatever You want me to do. And you know, that's a very personal decision. Talking about those in the time of Jesus, you remember when it said that Jesus did not many mighty works? You know the reason? Because of their unbelief. In other words, Lord, I will believe You up to a point, but my faith can't take in that You can do some of these works. And it limited the power of God. The question this morning then is this. Are we limiting God in our life? Are there places and the choices that we have been making? And I'm going to go beyond the individual, but that's where it starts and really that's where it's going to end. Because when I stand before the judgment seat of God, I'm not going to be able to get in on your skirt tails, your coattails. I'm not going to be able to get in and say, well, Lord, I was with the people of God and I can kind of be grandfathered in. But do you realize that there are some decisions that we make corporately as well? There are choices that we make individually, and we need to consider, are we limiting God? Are there areas in your life this morning, after you were saved, that you came to a place that you said, I don't want to do this, and this is my decision? The Lord is going to respect your personal decisions this morning. The Lord is going to respect the lines that we draw, but the Lord cannot work effectively like He wants to then. The power of God is going to be limited. The anointing of God in our lives individually and as a people will be limited when we draw a line or make a straw. And say, this is how far we will go. Lord, this is your domain. But there's some things over here I'm still holding on to. No limits. A limit, by definition, is a point or level beyond which something does not or may not extend or pass. A limit is a restriction. Is it possible that we might be restricting the power of God in our life? Is it possible? Is it possible that maybe my heart is to serve the Lord, and I'm not the person I used to be? The blood made a change. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm very different. But we come to places in life that if we are not careful, we will put some lines in the ground. We will begin to limit God and say, okay, Lord, this is where I'm going to stand. And the Lord's saying, I want you to come closer. The Scripture said that the disciples, they straightway left their nets and followed Jesus. But I fear this morning that there are too many that are following Jesus, but they haven't left their nets. They're still dragging them behind them. You know, eventually, those nets that are lawful, they're not sinful, but they can become a hindrance to what the Lord wants to do in our life. You drag a net long enough, somewhere along the line, we're going to get tangled up. And we're not going to be able to progress because we haven't left our nets. The Lord this morning is looking for individuals, young people. He is looking for young people who will, without reservation, without limits, say, Lord, I'm placing myself in your hands to do with what you want to do. Lord, I will go where you want me to go. And by the way, Lord, I will stop going to the places you don't want me to go. Lord, I will do what you want me to do. And Lord, by your grace, I know it's hard. But Lord, by your grace, I'm going to stop doing the things that I'm uncomfortable with spiritually and have been a hindrance. Those things can be a limit to God working in your life. If you want power with God, if you want the ability to live a consistent, holy life, we're going to have to take our hands off and say, Lord, there's no limits now. I'm yours. I'm in your hands. Lord, help us not to limit God. Luke 14, in the 26th verse, he said, if any man will come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Those are pretty strong words. You see, many times people say, well, start out to follow him and kind of see how it goes. But do you realize Jesus taught something? He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot. In other words, follow me without limits. What reservations are we placing on God? What limits have we placed on Him? He didn't mean to hate in the sense that I don't like and I have a hatred towards my father and mother. He was meaning love less. If you do not love everything else less than your love for God, the consequence really is that we can't be a disciple of Christ. And some people get uncomfortable with that theology. But I would say take it up with the Lord. Because those were His words. He's looking for people that will say, Lord, yes, I love my parents, I love my wife, I love my children, I love, might be your job, it might be things that God has blessed you with, and you have an appreciation and a love for those things. But you know, there are many lawful things this morning that are hindering people from fulfilling the call that God has on their life because they have limited their affections. They've limited their love. How much are we willing to sacrifice for God this morning? How much individually and as a people are we willing to sacrifice and say, Lord, everything that I have, it's yours. You know, when I was young, my vehicles were a little bit more important than they are today. They were a little bit more important to me. You know, you work for it, and you save for it, and you buy a vehicle, and that's, you want to be pretty careful about that. You may not be willing just to give the keys to anybody that comes along. If y'all need a vehicle, if I have one ready, you can come ask for the keys. Now, I dare say some of you young people can come talk to me after service. But I want to tell you that the other day, the neighbor man, I felt bad for him. But he backed into my car and put a big old dent in it. And you know what? It didn't bother me anymore. It didn't bother me. It's the Lord's. I want to take care of what's the Lord's. But you know what? It doesn't hold the value that it used to. And I wonder this morning if there are things in our life that we place value on, and the Lord's saying, I would that you place more value on the things of God. We place value on temporal things. The Lord wants us to be good stewards. Don't misunderstand me. But the Lord wants us to be good stewards of the things of the gospel too. And too many times it is the lawful things of life that are hindering the gospel going out to the world. It's the lawful things of life that are hindering the Lord using you in a capacity in the kingdom of God. Again, don't forget, God has a place for you to fill in the kingdom today. And it's an important place. And it's a place that no one else can fill. Because you have unique abilities. You have unique talents. You have unique weaknesses. And the Lord wants to use you as the person that He created. But He can only use us when we place Him in His hands and say, Lord, I take off all the restrictions. No more limitations, Lord. The Lord is looking for an unconditional consecration and dedication of our life. And this goes beyond, and please don't misunderstand this morning, it goes beyond an experience, number one, of asking the Lord to forgive us of our sins. And I'm going to say it even goes beyond when we come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm speaking this morning of a day-by-day complete consecration that, Lord, without limits, I want to live for You and do what You want me to do as You want me to do it. And as we begin to restrict God, so we begin to restrict the anointing of the Lord in our life. So we begin to restrict His anointing in our group, in this fellowship collectively. We begin to hinder the work that God wants to use us all in because I've got things that I'm tied to now. And the Lord's saying, you're restricting me. You've made a line and you're not letting me go past it. And the Lord's wondering, is there one person that would be willing to say, Lord, I don't feel like I have much. The sister sang the song the other morning, talking about the little lad that came with his loaves and fishes. Wouldn't that be kind of ridiculous if we looked around and said, we need some food to serve lunch. There's no food in the dining hall this afternoon. Does anybody have anything? And someone said, well, I have a peanut butter sandwich here. How many of you would offer that? You'd look around and say, I'd make myself look foolish, wouldn't I? Offer my peanut butter sandwich to a group like this. But do you know when those loaves and fishes were placed in the hands of God, He did something wonderful with it? God wants to do something wonderful in your life this morning. God wants to do something wonderful in your life, but it's going to take us losing our inhibitions in the flesh, losing our doubts, giving those insecurities to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'll just give you what I have. I don't know what you want to do with it, but without restriction, Lord, I'm going to follow the call of God. Do you know what God can do with just a few people that place themselves in His hand without limitations? You believe God could do more among us this morning? We're going to have to quit restricting God. But I can't make that decision for you, and you can't make it for me. It is a personal place of complete, entire consecration when we say, Lord, I recognize this thing has been hindering me, and I give it to you. In 2 Corinthians, in the 9th chapter, there is a beautiful scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. He said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord is not interested in twisting any of our arms this afternoon. He's not interested in forcing any of us to give something up because I have to give it up. But it is an appeal from the Spirit of the Lord. And He's saying, would you follow me? Would you give me everything that you have and say, Lord, I don't even know what it means. You know, when I got married, I made some vows. Did y'all make some of those vows? Did you know what it all meant? In part. In 2 days or 3 days, I better get it straight. I'm going to have been married 25 years. Do you know, I've learned more and more what those vows meant. But I made them, I meant it, and I stood on it, and it kept. It kept something. It kept something pure. It kept something secure. Because I in my vows, in our vows, I choose you above all others. The decision was made. And so that means that regardless of what happens in the years to come, I made a decision. You're it. Do you know there is power in vows? There's power. But I wonder, are we making that kind of vow with God? Salvation is more than, Lord, I'm going to try it, and I'm going to try to do differently, and I'm going to, Lord, I don't know what it all means, and there may be some failures, and there may be some places I stumble, and there may be some mistakes, and there may be places I realize I wasn't what I should have been, but Lord, my decision and my choice is that I choose you above everything else in this world. And I'm not just talking about sin. Oh, folks, there are some gray areas in life. There are some things that are not black and white sin. There are some areas that are not expedient for us spiritually. And there are some things that maybe my brother's doing, but when I do it, it just hinders me spiritually. And the Lord says, Michael, this isn't good for you. And I say, but Lord, brother, Ivan's doing it. I'm not talking about Brother Ivan, I'm talking about you. And if I'm not careful, I can begin to place some limitations on God. And I can begin to hinder the free flow and anointing of the Spirit of God in my life when I start looking around saying, well, this one's doing it and that one's doing it, and that congregation does it and that one doesn't. Is that not a reality, folks? That congregation. In that congregation, what is our call this morning? Our call is without limitations to follow God in holiness and purity and godliness. That, Lord, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. My heart is to follow you, and Lord, you're my choice. Amen. And the Lord doesn't want to twist our arms. He's not trying to coerce us this morning. But He's looking for individuals who will say, Lord, I'm willing to make that kind of consecration and remove all limits. and reservations. And so when he spoke here in Corinthians, he wanted a cheerful giver. He was talking about the tithe. You realize that? In the temple, they had a box that was the tithe box. And the tithe is what you have to give. Do you know a slight fallacy of modern day tithe teaching? People say a tithe is 10%. Do you know that that's actually not accurate? Because in the Old Testament, the total tithe, there was more than one tithe that was supposed to be paid. And when you add up the tithes, it totaled between 20 and 30% a year. Did you know that? It totaled. And in essence, it was a tax because that's what kept the leaders. That's what was their welfare system, if you want to look at it that way. Out of that tithe, there was a tithe for the poor. There was a tithe for the ministry. And then there was an intermittent tithe that paid for the feast at Jerusalem. So when you total them up, it is actually between 20 and 30%. And what the scripture here is teaching is, do away with necessity. Necessity was specifically referring to that scripture. Do away with the tithe mentality. This is what I have to give. This is my 10% to the ministers. This is my 10% to support the poor. And this is my other percent every third year to support these other needs. And the New Testament teaching is, do away with the tithe. Because God is not forcing you lawfully to have to give. But he said God wants a cheerful giver. And that's why, even this morning, these literal boxes, we say that was a free will offering. You know, I've wondered before, and I've appreciated, but have some of you ministers joined me here? Have you ever, someone ever given you a check for, say, $101.37? I appreciated that $101.37, as the case might be, but it told me something. It told me it was a tithe. Did the math. It was a tithe because they could have just given $100. That would have been all right. Just round it. Or round it up. 102 would have been all right. But the difficulty was there's a mentality. It's a tithe mentality. People pull out the calculator to see how much they've got to give. Folks, that's not what the Lord's interested in. The tithe should be just a schoolmaster to us. It just helps me know what the Lord used to require. But today, the Lord is looking for us cheerfully to give, have all, everything consecrated to the Lord. That means that practically when we give as we are led by the Lord. And that means there needs to be some discipline in our life too. That's right. That means there needs to be regularity in our life. It means there needs to be some things that, Lord, this is the standard that I believe the Lord wants me personally to do. But it's not a tithe. It's what the Lord has led me to do regularly. And then the Lord comes along and says, I want you to do more. It's like, Lord, I already gave. The Lord said, everything is mine. Amen. But you have to be able to trust someone to be able to give them everything, don't you? If I came along and said, Brother Marty, have some work to do tomorrow. Can you help me? Do you know what most people, I don't know what your response would be. But you know what most people's response to that kind of inquiry is? Well, what do you need? What do you need? I'm not just going to give a blanket agreement. They want to know what you're going to ask and how long do you need me? And have you ever noticed sometimes when there's work that needs to be done, people will volunteer an amount of time? I can give you 4 hours. And I'm not saying that's wrong to do. But it is with God. Because when we say, I'll give you 4 hours, I'm a little concerned maybe that they're going to want me for 6 hours and I've got other things I want to do. And so we want to maintain the control in our own hands. I can give you this amount of time from this time to this time. But the Lord is looking for some volunteers. He's looking for people to give themselves wholeheartedly without limits. Lord, no limits. And I place myself in your hands. Very few people, if you came up and said, will you do anything I ask you to do? I'm not going to ask a show of hands on this one. Said, how many people would do that? But do you know what? When you really trust someone, when you really trust someone, and they said, will you do whatever I ask? If you trust them enough, you will know they will not be unreasonable in their request. They will not ask you to do something that you're incapable of. They will not ask you to do something that is just not right. And the Lord is asking this morning, is there anybody here that will just be there to do whatever I ask? Whenever I ask, whenever, however. So how far are we willing to go with God this morning? In issues of holiness, there are many people that are limiting God's holiness by having good worldly standards in their life. And they look around and say, I'm not living like the world. I'm living at this standard, and the world's right here. And this is my standard. But God is not interested in us measuring ourselves by the standard of the world this morning. The Lord is interested in us measuring to the standard of His Word. And that means then that if I know that there are things that the congregation, that God's people have lived, we live a certain lifestyle. And I don't like it when sometimes people just say that these things are just traditions. You know, there are some things that are traditional amongst the saints. There are. And when it's tradition, we need to be careful not to teach for doctrine tradition. But there are also traditions that are not just traditions. There are traditions and a lifestyle that we live that go back directly to the Word of God. And I don't do it because they did it 100 years ago. I do it because this is what the Bible teaches. So although it has been a tradition, it goes a lot further and a lot deeper. And it comes back down to the standard of the Word of God. But if you chafe this morning, if you find yourself in a position that you are chafing under what you might call standards of holiness, do you know that even if you adhere to kind of the standards that people around you live to, there is very little grace found. Very little to no grace found in adhering to a tradition or a lifestyle just to fit in. But when you come with your heart open, because this is about a relationship with Jesus, and a relationship with God is not to the exclusion of holiness. It actually is to the inclusion of purity and godliness and separation from the world, but it's for the right reason. It's because, Lord, I love you, and without limitations, Lord, I'm going to follow you and do whatever you want me to do. So are we willing to do that? I find if we're chafing, it's time to come back down and examine where our heart is. I know one of the biggest challenges, one of the challenges of young people, it seems like, is music in our world. Am I wrong? Young people, it might be kind of hard to nod your head.
It was me.
Yes. One of the greatest challenges, and I just wonder with whether it be what you listen to, places you're going, whether it's what you're looking at, maybe it might come down to what you wear, clothes you wear. If you're chafing, thank you. And if you have drawn some lines that, Lord, I'm going to go, I'll get rid of this, but I like this, and you know the Lord has been calling you to something more, I want to encourage you to take your hands off and say, Lord, no more limits. Say, but what's God going to do? What's God going to require of me? You can trust Him. You can trust Him. If you want the fullness, see, remember, the children of Israel, the older ones, they never saw the walls fall.
They never enjoyed the fruit of the land of Canaan because they limited God. The Lord has greater blessings in your life. There are some people this morning that are having, they're in a cycle of failure. And it's because they're not quite, well, they're saying God's grace isn't working for me. I tried it and I keep failing. But have you come to the place that you've taken your hands off and say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. When you come to that kind of consecration, you will begin to see some walls start falling. You begin to find God's grace actually works in your life. But you have to say, Lord, I take my hands off. The Lord wants us to come closer to Him this morning. So in issues of holiness, in issues of a call of God, we won't take the time to read it this morning. You can find it over in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter. When Elijah came and he found Elisha plowing the field. And he was plowing with a yoke of oxen, and the scripture said that there were others, they were plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. By all indications, Elisha was from a wealthy family. From all indications, he was from a very wealthy family. And I'm sure he had plans and he had dreams and he had purposes. And you know those things are not wrong. If anybody ought to be an industrious people, it ought to be the people of God. A person that says they're saved and sits on the couch eating potato chips day after day without a plan, without a work ethic. God has something more for you. We ought to have plans. Lord, you bless me with this. I want to invest what you have given me. I don't want to bury it in the ground. But when the call of God comes, we ought to be willing to do exactly what Elisha did. Elisha came along and flung his cloak out. It was a sign or a signal that I want you to follow me. I want you to come and assist me. I want you to come and work in the kingdom of God. And Elijah said, I want to go tell my parents goodbye. And Elijah said, what's that to me? In other words, it's your decision. It's your decision this morning. What are you going to do with the call? And he went and he took his yoke of oxen. Do you remember what he did? He made a sacrifice. It is so hard. It's been hard for me, all right? It's so hard sometimes to burn our yoke of oxen. Because if it doesn't work out, I can go back to plowing the field. Lord told me in my life, I don't want you to plow that field. And it takes some tears to say, Lord, here's my yoke of oxen. There's been times I thought I had some backup plans. Lord came along and knocked the rug, to pull the rug out from under me and said, I don't want you to have a backup plan. I am your backup plan. I want you to follow me wherever that takes you. Young people, there is a call of God on your life this morning. Education is important. Your jobs are important. But there is a greater calling that God has for each and every one of us. You know, this morning that he went, Elisha went and he sacrificed his yoke of oxen and he went and he gave his dreams and his plans and he placed them in the hands of God. God will not betray your plans this morning. God will not abuse your trust. Young people, the devil is working so hard to make you think many times that if you go all the way with God, without limitation, what's he going to require of me? What am I going to have to give up? Does it mean that I can't have a job? Does it mean that I can't go to school? Does it mean I can't? Folks, that's not what it means. But it means I'm placing my job, I'm placing my education, I'm placing my dreams and my plans, and I'm putting them in the hands of God, and I'm taking my hands off. And I'm saying, Lord, without reservation, I will follow you whatever you call me to do. You want to find power and grace with God, this is where it's found, saints. It's found in complete, total consecration to the will of God. I believe there's some backup plans. There's a song that we sing in our book. I believe it's number 55. It says, "And now I have flung myself recklessly out." Wait, let's think this through a little bit now. Let's be logical about this. Folks, consecration is not all about logic. Consecration is not all about knowing if I do this, then this is going to happen and this is going to happen. Didn't work that way in marriage. Through sickness and health and poverty and riches, I think my wife got the short end of the stick on more than one thing. But do you know what? Love willingly rejoices. Yes. In times of hardship, in times of sickness, because you are my choice, and when your hearts are blended together, you can go through anything with God by your side. Young people, if you will place your hands in God's hands this morning, you will be able to face the challenges of life and you can have victory. God wants to use you in His kingdom. God wants to do more among us as a people. There is more work for us to be doing. I remember as a young person, there was a lot more said about ministers letting their nets go and giving themselves full time to the work of God. It has been a long time since I've heard that. But I want to tell you where the devil takes advantage of that. Brother Ivan's call is not Brother Danny's call. And Brother Danny's call is not Brother Curtis's call. In the chain, it just goes on. God has a different call for all of us. But the Lord still, there is still a need for people when God calls to say, "Lord, I'm all in." Without reservation. Say, "Well, I could be doing more of the work of the Lord, but I've got this to do." What is God asking for us to do? Is the Lord saying, "I want you to restrict this. I want you to limit that. Don't limit my work.
Yes.
I want you to limit your time over there, and I want you to come." Some of us need, folks, I believe God wants some more people to burn their oxen. In others, the Lord says, "You know what? Go in the morning hours and plow your fields, but I want your afternoons, and I've got work for you to do." And then we start saying, "But how can we do this?" And all of the practicalities come in. The Lord needs all of us to give ourselves completely and fully to the hands of God. I flung myself recklessly out like a chip on the stream of the infinite will. I passed the rough rocks. There's going to be some tough times. There's a cross. But He said, "I pass them with a smile and a shout. And I just let my dear God His purpose fulfill." Are you willing to do that this morning? Is there anybody here that you can feel there's something that's drawing you? Say, "I'm not sure I'm there," but you feel a call that, "Lord, I am willing and ready to say, Lord, I don't know what it all means, but I'm willing." In the eyes of man, it's reckless, but it's not in the eyes of God. Because you can trust Him this morning. God will work with willing people. But when we place limits on Him, we hinder God's working. God has a long history of using flawed individuals. You say, "Well, I've got some needs in my life." Well, I do too. We all do, because we're all still human. But the Lord has a history of taking humans with our weaknesses and our idiosyncrasies and our personalities, and people that will place themselves in the hands of God. God wants to use you. But we have to be willing to say, "Lord, no limitations." You remember Isaiah when he saw a vision of the throne of God? And he recognized that, "I'm a man of unclean lips." That the angels, they took a burning hot coal off the altar and they placed it on his lips. That was a touch of the Holy Spirit. And right when that was accomplished, a question was asked. There was a call given. And the call was, "Who will go for us? Who will go? Who shall we send?" And Isaiah, in all of his humanity, He said, "Here am I, Lord. I don't know where you're going to send me. I don't know what you're going to require of me, but Lord, I have felt the touch of the Holy Spirit on my life, and I'm going to answer the call." Do you know this call is not just to young people this morning? There are some middle-aged folks the Lord is wanting us to quit limiting Him in our lives and saying, "Lord, I'm willing." In issues of holiness and in issues of the call that God has for all of us, "Lord, I want to die out to myself and I place myself in Your hands." As we close this morning, I'd like to share a story in Acts 21, verse 10. It said, "We tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and his feet. And he said, 'Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and will deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place, we besought him," talking about Paul, "that he would not go." In other words, the prophet took that piece of cloth and he bound himself. And he said, "Whoever owns this cloth is going to be bound. They're going to be imprisoned." And everyone knew it was Paul's. And they began to entreat Paul. And they said, "Don't go. Please don't go. Don't do it." And Paul said, "What mean you to weep and break my heart? For I am not ready, for I am ready rather not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I've removed all limitations to what I'm willing to do for the Lord. Don't break my heart. Don't weep." This kind of consecration that Paul had, that was his heart's desire. And when they were not persuaded, when Paul could not be persuaded to change, it said, "We ceased." And this is what they said: "The will of God be done." The will of God be done. Yes. This morning, this is not contingent upon what everyone else around you is doing. But the Lord has a place that He's calling this morning to let go of some things in our life that we can say, "The will of the Lord be done." If there's issues that you've been struggling with in your personal life, those struggles are real. And you young people are not alone in that. If it's any help to you to know that, it's you're not alone. A lot of us have been there, struggling with, "What do I do with my life? Do I go to school? Do I get a job? What about marriage? What about this?" And it can be a confusing time of life. But I can also recommend to all of us this morning that when we place ourselves in the hands of God, He has a plan for us. And we can trust Him and we don't need to be afraid. But too often we do what the young rich ruler did, and we do all these things for God, but yet there's one thing that we're holding on to. And do you know the one thing that we're holding on to is going to keep us from moving forward? It's like a chain that we're limiting God from working in our life. I'd just like to encourage us this morning as we stand and sing a song to examine our life personally. Have we placed ourselves unconditionally, without reserve, in the hands of God? Or have we placed some limits on Him? God has a plan for each and every one of us. I would, if just one hears that divine call, and it could transform your life, because God has a work for all of us to do. Amen.